Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. A person will reap exactly what he plants. If he plants in the field of his natural desires, from it he will gather a harvest of death. If he plants in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit he will gather a harvest of eternal life. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So let's not become tired of doing good. Coming from the Apostle Paul, that's quite a statement, because if anyone should be tired of doing good, it's that world-traveling missionary, the Apostle Paul. He worked so hard, he worked so long, and he faced so many obstacles. He was regularly treated unfairly by so many people, misunderstood by the rest, those who didn't like him and those who were threatened by what he was saying and by what he was doing. And still he advises the Christians in Galatia, don't give up and don't become weary of doing good. In 2 Corinthians, he says, 5 times I was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans. Once I was stoned. I've been in 3 shipwrecks. Once I spent a whole day in the water. I've been in danger from floods and robbers, in danger of fellow Jews, from Gentiles, have dangers in the cities, dangers in the wild, dangers in the high seas, dangers from false friends. I've gone without sleep, been thirsty and hungry. And he goes on and on. He recites all of these woes, and yet to his brothers and his sisters in Galatia, he says, do not become weary of doing good. There were times, I believe, that Jesus was tempted to become weary from doing good. In fact, there were times when he needed to get away. We see him trying to get away from the crowd, and then all of a sudden there's 5,000 people to feed. We see him just trying to get away, and there's a storm on the lake. All of these times he needed to just get away with his disciples. He tried to get away, to be alone with his disciples, because I think that he was threatened with being tired, with being weary. When he was asked about this, about how we are supposed to be with one another and how are we supposed to keep this up, he was asked this question: how many times do I need to forgive my brother? Now, the rabbis always said 7 times. 7 times is a long time to forgive your brother, especially when you're kind of in that match with him or sister all the time. But Jesus didn't say 7 times. What did he say? He said 7 times 70. Okay? And if you do the math, that's 490 times. And I think that if somebody would have pressed him a little bit and said, okay, so I get to 490 times, then what? I think that Jesus probably would have said, well, then you need to start all over. Start counting again. When he advised his followers to turn the other cheek when someone would strike them, he said, go the extra mile when a member of the occupying Roman forces demanded that you become his porter. Don't become weary of doing good, for if we do not give up, the time will come when we'll bring in the harvest. Always be looking for ways to do good. As often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone. This is expressed in love. Jesus, in the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, says, this is my new commandment to you. Love one another. Love one another without ending. Because I'll tell you what, it's not what you think about love. It's not what you understand about love or how you feel or what you even say about love. But it's what you do about love. It's what you do about love that releases that power of God's Spirit in the world. And as we love, we experience God's love in our lives. That's how it works. And that's how we are renewed. Because we experience that power that flows through us. It's no longer all up to us. Because when we rely on God, and the more fully we rely on God, the more that burden is lifted from us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Now that sounds like work, but the fact is, without the yoke, the ox cannot pull evenly. If you don't have handles on your grocery bag, you can't hold the bag. The yoke does the same thing, and Jesus is alongside us. Don't become weary. It's about that love. And that love is released, and we experience it, and because of that, our lives are different. We don't get run down. Although this sounds hard, don't become weary of doing good. It doesn't seem like a recipe for happiness. It seems more like work and looking for more trouble. In English, we have a saying that goes, "No good deed goes unpunished." Does it ever seem that way to you? There's a hymn that says, "When I've done the best I can and my friends misunderstand, you who know all about me, stand by me." Where does the energy come from to do these good things and to keep doing them? Paul talked in his earlier in the letter of Galatians, "You are called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse to let your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. Let the Spirit direct you." The Spirit has given us life. The Spirit must also control our lives, and in controlling our lives, we are given a renewed energy. Our hope is in the power of God's Spirit working through faith. What matters is that faith makes its power felt through love. It is a gift to us. And we do receive an underlying strength of character that gives us the necessary energy and the decision-making power to go on and to keep going on. Okay, finally, we're going to get to him, don't worry. I was thinking about how to talk about energy of the Spirit, and my mind kept coming back to the TV commercial. You've seen it. The Energizer Bunny. This little toy rabbit goes around pounding on the drum, keeps on going and going and going. A battery is a source of energy for a lot of things, from computers to toys to radios. All kinds of things are powered by a radio. And they come alive when you put in a battery. Even my 5-year-old daughter, Emma, knows about batteries, because when her toys don't work, she gives them to me, "Papa, it needs new batteries." Sometimes the arm on the doll is broken. The battery's not going to fix it. But she understands that there's something, and it's almost invisible how this thing works, how just this little round thing that you put in the back of the dolly allows her to keep saying, "Mama, mama, mama." I think that sometimes a lot of us feel like we've run down and that our batteries need recharging. Or maybe we need new batteries. And the Apostle Paul would remind us of that true source of power. And I'm paraphrasing our passage today, because what happens is that it's not what we expect. We expect, you know, get 8 hours of sleep a night, and that's a good idea. But it's not so much how we relax. It's how we spend our time. It's how we invest our energy. When a person invests their time and energy, where they do this will determine what becomes of their lives. It is, in the end, what gives us energy to keep doing and not be weary. If a person plants in the soil of self-centeredness, everything directed back to themselves, thinking only of themselves, pleasing only themselves, they get tired. And the result will be a rotten and useless, and it ends in death. If a person plants in the soil of the Spirit, eternal life will be the result. So don't become weary in doing good. If we will not give up, we will experience a good harvest. And as often as we have the chance, we must work for the good of all, especially in our Christian family. It seems counterintuitive that somehow working on the behalf of our brothers and sisters, by loving them, should increase our energy. But the fact is, it's Christ who lives in us. This is the trick This is what the Pharisees didn't understand, because they were trying to earn it. Like Smith Barney, they did it the old-fashioned way. They earned their salvation. And what happens is that we do good, but it's as a response to the love that Christ has placed in our hearts. If we're attached that way, if our battery is connected to the rest of our life, if that source of goodness, if that source of power is there and active, it is renewed. And in fact, as we exercise the power of love, that battery is recharged. Because it is not up to us. That's when we get tired. When all of the world's problems become up to us. When our family problems, when it's all up to us. That's when we get weary. But that's a matter of pulling things in toward us instead of opening and relaxing our grip. Letting God lead us. Let God light it. Live the life through us. And that power of love. If our lives are only given meaning as we rely on our stuff or our own egos, our ability to do it, those things that we can control, those things in the Old Testament are called idols. If we come to rely and trust in those, we will become weary. If we are controlled by our own wants or desires, our egos, then our batteries will run out. We will become run down. Because we as human beings are limited, and these things that we rely on and invest in are not permanent. They come and go. When we plant it in the fields, as Paul says, of our natural desires, things will not go well. But if we rely on the Spirit of God for the renewal in our lives, we will not be disappointed. If God is at the center, there is an ever-renewing source of power that is available to us. It is eternal. It is a gift. We don't earn it. It comes to us if we open to it. If we are open to it and if we exercise that love, because the power of God's Spirit working through faith, what matters is that faith makes its power felt through love. And our lives are renewed by that same power. When we begin to fully rely upon God and not ourselves, there's an ever-renewing spring of love and power that bubbles up within us. And faith allows us to be open to this power. All of it is inspired by love. Now, if that's not enough, the Apostle Paul draws a pretty dramatic picture of a life that is not powered by love. It is powered by ego and stuff. At the end of the fifth chapter of Galatians. Now, I'm not going to read it all. It's a pretty grisly list. But here's an example of what you can expect if your life is not powered by God. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous and angry and ambitious. Sounds like a soap opera. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious and get drunk. What happens is that if we sow in that field of all of our self-centered and the issues that only affect us, then we can expect that to happen. Immediately following, however, there is a life that is powered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. Because it may take all that we've got. But planting in the good soil of the Spirit sure seems to be a much better choice. And I just present that to you today. What is it that you're going to choose? The battery of stuff and ego, or the battery of the eternal and living God? Let's not become weary of doing good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, you know how we get weary. Lord, you know how we get weary. And you know how easily it would be remedied if we would turn to you, and if we would find that indeed you are there. Help us to sow in that good field, the good field of the Spirit. And as we wait for the harvest, and through the difficult times in our lives, may we know that that power is residing within us, and it is being renewed, and we are experiencing it because of Jesus Christ. Thank you that He has not left us alone, has offered Himself to us and His Spirit within us. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Knowles Shaw was an amazing man. He was really quite talented. He could play violin. He knew several different languages. He became an evangelist. And it said that he would preach twice a day and three times on Sundays. He just didn't give up. He was like that Energizer Bunny. He was the one that brought us Bringing in the Sheaves. Let's stand and sing this old familiar hymn of faith.